going to lock up the Oregon fuel injection hotline because while college football might be in the rear view, still a lot to discuss because, hey, it's 2022. Our guest is here, going to run some numbers. He's based to the north and way east in Nova Scotia. The site is covers.com. His Twitter handle is at Andrew_Cayley, C-A-L-E-Y. He is a senior analyst. Andrew, appreciate you calling since I can't call international. How is life in the Maritime Province?
Much darker than it is out west right now. 7:30 here. Although we just got hit with a big snowstorm, so we. But then we've got some pretty wild weather swings here: snow and then rain and then snow again. It's just crazy here. I wish I was in a place a little warmer, but I'm happy to be here talking some college football with you here this afternoon.
You know, a couple things as a first-time guest. I see you're a big fan of the Raptors, the Blue Jays. So, of course, before we knew what a coronavirus was or social distancing, you know, the Raps won the NBA title, Kawhi Leonard. We know the Maple Leafs are in a 55-year drought. The Blue Jays, you go back to 92 and 93. I guess the Argonauts have won a couple of recent Grey Cups. So I'm curious, how big a deal was it when the Raptors won their first NBA title?
For me personally, it was massive. I was about 10 years old when the Raptors were first formed in 1995, and they played their first ever game, actually, in Halifax. They played an exhibition game against the Philadelphia 76ers in Halifax, and Sean Bradley was there, and I thought he was the scariest man I'd ever seen at that time. Allen Iverson was there, too. He didn't play in that game, unfortunately. But Damon Stoudemire got a fan for life in me, so I've been following them for years. And with kind of the guys like Vince Carter and Tracy McGrady coming through, Chris Bosh, basketball really grew as a sport in Canada over these last 30 years. So to see that pay off with a championship in 2019, we were having outdoor watch parties all across the country. It was a huge deal.
By the way, Damon Stoudemire grew up, went to high school 2 hours north of here, Wilson High in Portland. So he's kind of a favorite around here too.
Perfect.
Before we get to college and what next season might bring, I saw you tweeting about the playoffs and the Bengals in particular, and I was laughing because you and I were laying the 5.5 points. So it obviously went down to the wire. What do you like about this Cincinnati team? And Andrew, how big a sigh of relief did we breathe when Carr threw short of the chains and the game ended?
a very big sigh, because I really like what Joe Burrow brings to that table. I like those weapons in Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins and Joe Mixon. Like, those are some great weapons. But I am also very aware of the Bengals' flaws, and that is on offensive line and defensive line, I would say. And now they have some injuries going into this week against the Titans as well. So I like them in that matchup, mostly because I felt the Raiders were getting a little too much respect in that spot. The Raiders, for me, were an average team, probably at best. While the Bengals were a little better, they had just the ability to take down the Raiders with those weapons. So I was just happy to see that I thought we were in the minority in that one. I think most people were taking the points with the Raiders in that game. I was happy to see that. I will be a little more cautious this week with them against the Titans, especially with the Titans getting that extra rest. But I think we were on the, well, obviously we won our bet, but I think it was the right bet to make at the time last week too.
Hey, I have no pride. I take it and run like a thief in the night. talking with Andrew Cayley, covers.com. So to some college football, Georgia beats Bama, obviously wins it all. And then you get the wave of NFL declarations and N'Kobe Dean, two starting linemen, Devontae Watt, the left side of the offensive line, both backs. And of course, now the defensive coordinator is the head coach at Oregon. But the question is, so you still like their chance to reload and contend again, huh?
100%. Just Kirby Smart's proven since he's been there that he is an elite recruiter, just like his mentor, Nick Saban. And it's not like this team was a thin team. They have lots of talent ready to step up into this one. I expect Stetson Bennett to be back as well. There were some rumors about whether or not it'd be JT Daniels again next year, but now it's sounding like Daniels is going to enter the transfer portal as well, so you can expect Bennett back. And I guess I'm wrong about that guy, because I see a guy with talking about average at best. That's Stetson Bennett to me, but he made some plays in that national championship, and he deserved that win, but it'll be interesting to see how they do. I think they also have the advantage of being in the SEC East again, where I don't know if they're going to have much of a competition this year. It'll be interesting to see what South Carolina does with Spencer Rattler there now. But I really don't think there's too much of a threat to them in their division again this year. So the path to the SEC title game is pretty clear, which makes them and as we saw in the playoffs, I think that Alabama and Georgia are still a class above everybody else in college football. So there's a reason why their odds are up there with Alabama's, and there's quite a gap between them and everybody else.
Yeah, as for the Tide, well, I don't have to tell you what a difficult struggle it is for Nick Saban to get good players to come there. But, you know, Bryce Young, the Heisman winner's back. They lose their starting running back, and, you know, Jameson Williams, great receiver. They take some hits on defense, but Will Anderson, they're all everything linebackers back. So, again, the prospects of Bama finding their way back to what in essence becomes, you know, the annual Bama role in the postseason.
People are going to find it boring, but they're the plus 200 favorite to win the national championship all over again. And you mentioned it. Bryce Young is back. He won the Heisman Trophy. Caleb Williams maybe should have won the Heisman Trophy, I think. And they're arguably the best two players on each side of the ball in college football. And they've already replaced Brian Robinson. Jahmyr Gibbs, a former four-star recruit from Georgia Tech, he's already committed to coming to Alabama, so he should have a big year for them. And I expect them to do the same thing in the transfer portal when it comes to wide receivers. They did it last year with Jameson Williams. Don't be surprised if you see some other big wide receiver names in college football head out to Alabama. And on top of everything else, their schedule kind of lines up well for them again this year. A&M and Auburn travel to Tuscaloosa this year, and they also have no crossover game with Georgia this year, so they'll be ready to go. People might have some Alabama fatigue, but I'll tell you, just be ready for it to be has to happen again.
Yeah, it's deal with it. Talking with Andrew Cayley, covers.com, seeing some early top 25s. The thoughts on our Ducks. Kind of mixed. One composite took them all into account, and they're around 15. Like I said, new coach, new staff, new system, new quarterback, transfers, losses to the NFL. So what's your crystal ball say about Oregon 2022?
I really like what Dan Lanning brings. Like, obviously, he's a defensive guru, and while they do lose Thibodeau, that's obviously a huge loss. I think they're going to get somewhere between 7 and 8 starters back on defense, and he'll obviously like that. It'll be interesting to see the QB battle between Bo Nix and Ty Thompson this spring. It'll probably be one of the more intriguing battles in college football before the season. And whoever does win that job will be playing behind a very veteran offensive line. And while they're 40-1 to win the national title this year, I wouldn't be shocked to see them back in the Pac-12 title game. There's a lot of talent there, particularly at wide receiver as well. And what I would like to see is what will be huge for Lanning is if he can get Travis Dye to return. If he can get Dye back, I know he's entered the transfer portal, but some guys have entered portals and come back. And the process of this transfer portal is confusing still to me at times. But if you can get Dye back, I think that would be good. And there's still a lot of talent in Eugene, so I think they're a team to still be reckoned with in the Pac-12.
And of course, Oregon beat Ohio State in Columbus. And looking at that, it's like, wow. Buckeyes win the Rose Bowl with all that offense. CJ Stroud is back. Obviously, he loses some. Chris Olave's all everything. Both lines take a hit, but it's Ohio State. They've owned the Big Ten. And they kept their coach, Ryan Day. you think they're poised to retake the conference from Michigan?
I have a hard time fading them, that's for sure. that loss to – there was definitely a theme to their losses this year, and it was happening in the Rose Bowl as well. Physical teams at the line of scrimmage, teams that could run the ball well. Oregon did it. Michigan did it to them. And Utah was doing it to them early in that Rose Bowl. Before they had that explosion in the second half there. But so Jim Knowles comes in to switch up the defense. They come in with a chip on their shoulder, which is a hard thing to do if you're an Ohio State team. You usually don't have a chip on your shoulder when you're a blue blood program like that. And then we saw in that Rose Bowl as well that C.J. Stroud will still have some explosive playmakers in 2022, specifically Jackson Smith, Ngigba, and Travion Henderson. Both are like two dark horse guys you could look at for Heisman trophies this year as well. That offense is just going to still be one of the best in the country. And at plus 550, they're probably the best value to win the national championship this year. I think they don't have a strong challenger again in the Big Ten. I expect Michigan to take a bit of a step back next year, and I see their path to the college football playoff as being pretty clear.
Couple final thoughts for Andrew Staley, a couple of Heisman picks. Of course, the front runner heading into 2021, you mentioned he was at Oklahoma, now Spencer Rattler's at South Carolina. So Bryce Young of Alabama, you know, we've had 85 individual winners. Only Archie Griffin of Ohio State is a repeat winner. Where do you see Young defending his trophy next year?
He's got a really good shot. It'll be interesting to see who they bring in. I think it depends on who they bring in on the transfer portal for that wide receiver position. If it doesn't go the way they want, maybe they lean more on the running back position next year. But he's the favorite for a reason. I won't be shocked if he wins it again. If you're looking for a little more value, obviously the other favorites are going to be Caleb Williams, who I expect will expect to hear him say he's transferring to USC with his guy Lincoln Riley pretty shortly here. C.J. Stroud and Travion Henderson are obviously favorites as well. Down the board, some guys I like a little more. Tyler Van Dyke of Miami. I know you guys out there probably won't be big Miami fans this year with Mario Cristobal there now. But Van Dyke was excellent down the stretch for Miami last year. And it was actually one of the best offenses in the country through the final 6 or 7 weeks of the season when he kind of took that job over for good. Another one I like is Phil Jurkovec from Boston College. You can get him at about 80-1 right now. He's going to be one of these guys, kind of like the Sam Howell from last year.
Sure.
NFL scouts are going to be looking at a lot of his games this year, and there's going to be a lot of hype around that Boston College team, which was surprisingly competitive last year, and it'll be interesting to see if they can build off their season. And one more I really like is I want to see, even though the coaching staff has completely changed, is to see what Dylan Gabriel does in the Big 12 at Oklahoma after all those huge numbers at UCF. So and that'll be an interesting one to keep an eye on.
Well, I mentioned covers.com on Twitter. It's at covers. What could you tell us about the site? Let's play marketing director for a moment to wrap up.
Well, we've got everything you need. Our goal is to make smarter sports bettors, giving you all the information you need to make the most informed decisions possible when making your bets. We've got great scores and matchups pages. We have all the live odds pages, has up-to-date odds from many books, and we have a covers consensus line, which takes all those odds and combines them to see what the consensus will be. We've got free picks from our editorial staff you can find on there as well, and betting advice on almost every single game you could hope for.
Folks, it's loaded with information. Covers.com on Twitter, it's at Covers. He's Andrew Cayley. His Twitter handle is at Covers_Cayley. Hey, a lot of fun talking about what we expect to see this next season. Much appreciate the time. Be well, be safe, way back east, and I hope we can catch up again down the road.
I'm really looking forward to it. It was a lot of fun chatting with you, Steve.
All right, have a good one.